back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Our last discussion with a caller, I talked about Russian military expansion briefly in the Arctic. Here's what's happened. The Arctic, because of climate change, is opening up to navigation. In the old days, you need an icebreaker to break through, and maybe a breakthrough for a couple hundred yards or a mile. Now you're going to have open navigation in the Arctic before you know it. And that's an area that has been undeveloped, and it's also an area that's been unsecured. Russia is starting to make, they said, this is our territory, the Arctic. Because when you think about it, you think of the Earth at the equator. It's a lot of miles around the Earth. Up in the Arctic, it shrinks. Russia's taking the position, well, you know, we're right near there. Of course, other people are too, but we're going to claim the whole thing. Well, that ain't happening. That ain't happening. First of all, we have nuclear submarines that go under the North Pole. I mean, we have nuclear submarines. They have a couple. Their construction is bad. They're supplying. Their vendors are crooked. As very frequently, one of their ships doesn't come up. It's kind of a grisly way to go. So we're good there. But we're not going to put up with their military expansion up there. You know, I mean, what about Norway? They're very close there too. What about Sweden? What about Finland? And what about Canada? There's a lot of people that are close to the Arctic. So they say it's our territory. And we have said, no, it's not your territory. And look increasingly for our military presence up there just to keep an eye on things, just like we do in the South China Sea. Just send a destroyer through the Taiwan Straits. We've done it five times this year. Taiwan Straits, it's a body of water between China and Taiwan, and it's not a very big body of water. It'd be like Chinese ships just going offshore of Naples, Florida or something, or, you know, Tampa, Florida. But in any event, it's international waters, and we'll go where we are entitled to under international waters. The Ruskies are not going to get away with saying that the Arctic is their territory. So, you know, quite frankly, right now, the constraints we put on Putin, he thinks he is bungling domestic policy. Wages there are no good. Employment is not good. People are restive. And the first refuge of a scoundrel when that happens is to invade somebody else and gin up some kind of nationalistic sentiment. And he's doing that by going into Ukraine. He's doing it by going into Syria. Spending a lot of money doing that, and now he's sniffing around the Arctic. Well, he can sniff all he wants. The guy is weak at home. He's weak economically, and Biden's starting to put the pressure on him, which Trump never did. Starting to put the pressure on him on the sale of bonds. The next thing we can say, we're not just not buying Russian bonds denominated in rubles. We're not buying Russian bonds at all, period. That would kill him, so we have to be careful. We don't want to drive him to a point where they think they have to take military action, but we can squeeze and squeeze and squeeze, and we definitely should. Development in the migrant crisis in Europe. 8,000 Moroccan people just swarmed into a Spanish city in North Africa called Ceuta, C-E-U-T-A. You know Spain, you know Gibraltar, and then there's the Straits of Gibraltar. I went through the Straits of Gibraltar several times in the Navy. Beautiful sight. You can go through, you can see Africa right there. Right there, the continent of Africa. Spain owns land in North Africa, not in Europe. And there's the city. And it's basically Morocco or near Morocco. 8,000 people swarmed into it. And now they say we can come into Europe. I think enough's enough over there. What happened is when Angela Merkel brought in 1 million people from jihadist cultures, many of them committed acts of jihad. Destabilized Europe, burned churches, murdered priests, ran people down in the streets. That never should have happened. And now there are two pinch points in Europe. One of them is an island that Greece owns near the Turkish coast, and the other one is the city of Spain in North Africa. And people think, okay, I get there, and then I get to go to what? Paris, in London, and Rome, and all this. And many are very fine people, but there are jihadists, and they're carriers of the jihad meme. Something's got to be done. And my view is that when it comes to these kinds of incursions, you process people there, you feed them, treat them humanely. You don't let them get into Europe itself. You simply do not. Because whenever there's an increase in jihadist culture, and you can see it in Lebanon, it ends up in the destruction of the host population. So stand by. 8,000 went into Morocco, from Morocco, to a Spanish possession. And that is the subject of a diplomatic dispute between Morocco and Spain. I'll tell you, there's a our friends at Apple. Anybody out there own any Apple products? Well, let me tell you something. I am very, very concerned about Apple, something of what they're doing. You listen to this. They are kowtowing to the government in China. They are surrendering surveillance in return for profits. 25% of their revenue, $55 billion, comes from the China and China-related products, 25%. They have kowtowed to the communist Chinese. They are now seen as a cog in the machine of a governmental-controlled internet over there. They are forced to store customer data on Chinese government servers. They are forced to share customer data with Chinese government officials. That's a violation of U.S. law. It's a felony. They do a workaround. They, quote, contract, end quote, with a Chinese company to do this. And then they, oh, I just contracted with them. They're the ones breaking U.S. law. Good luck getting them. They remove apps to placate the Chinese government. They ban apps from anybody who criticizes the Communist Party. 55,000 apps have disappeared from Apple in China. 35,000 of them were games. Games have to be approved over there, so they're not subversive. 20,000 of the apps related to foreign news outlets. Any app relating to a gay dating service has to be removed. Any encrypted messaging app has to be removed. Anything that even mentions the Dalai Lama, I mean, come on, Dalai Lama is a guy sitting around in a robe contemplating, has to be removed. Any app organizing protests has to be removed. Any app that teaches you how to skirt internet restrictions has to be removed. Apple has got to be called on this. It's fine company. Don't get me wrong. Fine company. Apple has got to be called on this. That's a violation of U.S. law, and they're doing workarounds with an intermediary over there. Let Apple know we don't want them. I don't care if they get a quarter of their revenue from China. They get some anyway. They are a cog in a machine of a government-controlled internet. Okay, we're going to the lines. Dio, my friend from Madison, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dio?
Morning, Dave. Matt, how are you today?
I'm good, thanks. Thanks for calling in.
Good. You are a man of, I would say, history, and you had a lot of experience. I just wanted to throw out something about immigration. So, you were talking about Morocco and, you know, Spain. European countries, you know, they get up one day, they just scream, oh, wow, how in the world we have so many people coming in, we can't have that, oh, no, no, the world is ending. But just a few years ago, we don't need to go too far, there were the same guys invading those African countries, and they still do, right? They don't ask to come. They come, they take over countries, they do what they want, and they're still doing it. But for the crimes they committed, there's no conversation about that. It's like the world starts when Europeans want the world to start. So history starts when they want to look at it from their perspective. But you look at Africa. Africa was looted for centuries, right there, Matt? And there's no discussion about that. That's the truth and the fact. And after the so-called independence of those countries, Europe, very much as today Japan and Germany is suffering from population decline, they brought people in. They said, come on up, come and work here. So they brought a bunch of people from North of Africa, Morocco, Algeria, Tunisia, whatever. And they settled in France, obviously, or Europe. So today, those kids and grandkids of those first immigrants are the enemies within, basically. You can't have it both ways. I remember my own uncle telling me that he refused the French citizenship just because of pride, but they wanted to give it to him so he stays in France and works. But he refused it. That's just a simple example of how history is only told from one side of the coin. Now you got kids that are suffering, struggling in their own country. They can't eat, work, or whatever because of, okay, there are many reasons, but historically, you can't loot a continent and tell the people to stay put. So I want you, as a man of history, to look at these things from that standpoint. And you can compare that with the United States itself. What the Native Americans would say. Europeans came by force into this country, right? But at the same time, you can't say, okay, we came, we did this here, and the next generation that may be coming, we don't want you here. No. Don't come. You can't come. There got to be a policy to look at this a sober way, not reactionary way to say, oh, no, we're going to arrest people, kill them, or deport them, or this. No. The Europeans went to everywhere, starting with the British, the Spanish. They run the world, if you remember.
So Dayo, you are very articulate. I want to respond to that. My producer is saying we have to go to a break right now. I have no control over that. When we get back from the break, I'm going to spend the next part responding. You're articulate, and you've made some good points. There are some aspects to it that I want to respond to, in fairness to you and our listenership. It's a fascinating topic. Thank you very, very much for calling in. And after this break, I will respond on the question of immigration, on the question of Western colonialism, and all of that. Thank you. Raise a very important point. Lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break when I will respond to Dayo.